Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
Good morning, everybody. Episode 399 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Jesse Velasquez, Justin Joint here to talk all the latest in the world of pro wrestling. And for the first time in a long time, fellas, we got a theme to go with this show, and that is the top 10 current pro wrestlers in North America. We're going to break all that down later in the show. If you're watching along with us live, we want to get you involved, actually. So you'll find a link here in the broadcast description where you can actually call in your thoughts and give us your top 10 wrestlers in North America. Check the link. I'll just put this on the screen right now. If you go to that web URL right now, you can leave us a voicemail and you can let us know your thoughts on who is the top 10 wrestlers in North America. And Justin Joint, don't worry. When we actually talk about this and I have this graphic on the screen, I'm going to do a different layout so we can see more of you. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Oh, no. Cover me up. Put more graphics over me. Nobody wants to see this, especially this early in the day.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, how are you doing, man? You got your coffee? You ready to go?
I got my coffee. I've got my little sparkling water drink here to get hydrated for the day. Tottenham and the 49ers are playing in about an hour and a half, so should be a good day. I took my son to our local comic book shop yesterday. Oh, it was like comic book day, so he got a bunch of free comics, and I picked up Kingdom Come, which is a graphic novel I've been wanting to read for quite a while.
Nice. I did see that advertised that they were doing that, and yeah, I should have gone to that. Dang it. But nice. Cool. How you doing, Jesse?
Doing okay. Just fixing my headphones. Perfect. Why do you want to be covered up, Justin? I mean, come on now. You're so humble.
Low self-esteem.
Oh, come on. Humble, humble young man.
We're going to continue to boost it throughout this show.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And again, we're hoping to get people involved. So you can leave us a chat too and let us know your thoughts. Super chats, of course, always get preference. If you want to make sure we read your top 10, you can send us a super chat. Those are open this morning as well. We want to thank all of our beautiful, lovely patrons. If they were on this stream, we would feature all of their faces on this video. Appreciate all of your support. We did have a new sign up recently that I forgot to call out a couple of weeks ago. That's Chris Zabel. Chris, really appreciate you signing up. And then our good friend John Hope actually upgraded to a higher tier. So John is usually in these live chats, especially when we do the morning shows over in the UK. And John, we really appreciate your continued patronage of the show. As Jesse talked about last week, I was not on the show. I was in Chicago, went to the Bears game with my father. I was heading back when these guys were doing the show, but I did have a chance to listen to it. And Jesse did an awesome job explaining that, you know, we're doing a survey right now, seeing what our listeners want out of this show. We posted on Patreon. I posted in the Facebook group. Can email us at topropenation@gmail.com. Just let us know what you like on the show, what you don't like. Be brutally honest. What do you want to hear from us? And we're looking to make some changes to our Patreon here in the next few months to make it even more worthwhile to sign up. We got 40 some people on there right now, but we definitely want to keep that growing and giving you the content that you want. So you can let us know on that survey. You can find it, like I said, a multitude of places to fill that out, and really appreciate all the, I don't know, like 20 to 30 people, something like that, have filled it out right now. And it's been extremely helpful. Honestly, it's one of the reasons why we're doing a themed show. Mm-hmm. Is people said that, you know, they really like it when we do that rather than just always just going through the news and current events. Give us a topic. And, you know, the guys came up with this. We've got our lists ready. Hopefully we'll hear from you all as we get to that at the end of the show. But I think to start, we are going to hit on some current big topics going on in the world of pro wrestling, and then we'll get to that kind of in the second half of the show. Does that sound good, everybody?
Yes.
Any objections? And yes, you guys did a great job last week. I always enjoy stepping back and like putting on the listener hat and listening to the show. It's so interesting to do that after almost 400 episodes of this show, where I've been on almost all of them. It's been a little busy here in the fall, of course, but thank you for holding down the fort. I appreciate you both.
When Justin goes rogue, it makes the podcast that much more fun.
Justin doing his basketball draft as he got started last week. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. I'm in second place right now. It's early, but I'm in second place.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. All right. Current events. We'll start with AEW. We'll hit WWE too. AEW did announce the women's, let me put this up on the screen, tag team tournament for the first ever AEW tag team champions. Now, they did not announce when the finals are going to be of this. So we don't know if that's going to be on television or full gear. I think some of that is going to have to do with how the bracket breaks out. Justin, let me just throw it to you first. As you look at this bracket, who do you see advancing and then ultimately maybe even winning this tournament?
Well, it's a bit of a bummer because I was rooting for the most is Willow and Harley, but I just can't imagine them getting past Mercedes and Athena in the first round. You think at the very least they're going to, you know, implode at some point, Mercedes and Athena, that is. But you got to think they're going to advance at least past the first round. And then I think it's going to end up being Tony and Mina winning them. You know, they both just lost championships, so it makes a lot of sense to put more on them or put these, you know, first time titles on them, especially with Tony being the star that she is. And then, you know, other than that, I could see Bayne and Ford also maybe taking the titles.
Okay. Jesse, your thoughts?
Tony and Mina, to me, are the heavy favorites. I think the small section of the IWC, their favorites would be Anna Jay and Ty Conti. I've seen that a lot all over the place. They want them to be the first AEW Women's Tag Team Champions. I think just simply for the longevity factor, they've been together forever. They obviously split off when Ty delivered a child. But before that, I think they've just... it's been 4 or 5 years, and I think it looks a little lopsided. I would have switched a couple of them. I think I would have actually taken Megan Bain and Penelope Ford in the Tay-Jay match, move it over to the top left corner, and move Queen Aminata, Jamie Hayter, and the Sisters of Sin to the other side, just for a little bit more balance, just from what I see. Because I think star power-wise, it's going to be Tony, Mina, and Mercedes and Athena. And I think I'm in Justin's camp. I'd like to see Megan Bain, Penelope Ford on one side and Tony and Mina on the other.
Yeah. I mean, we know that Mercedes is wrestling Statlander at Full Gear. So if they advance to the finals, that would make it seem like that's going to be a televised match. Maybe they do a Dynamite finals or something in advance of Full Gear, if that's the way the bracket shakes out. Yeah. Cause I think at first glance, that seems most obvious. Mercedes and Athena against Tony and Mina in the finals. But I don't know, maybe there's, you know, some kind of miscommunication between Mercedes and Athena that leads into a feud between the two of them. You know, I could see that happening and them using this tournament to kind of springboard a feud there and they don't get to the finals. But I've said this ever since they announced these, and I think you guys agreed at the time too. It seems like Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa are going to be the first champions. You know, I've seen the stuff out there, like you guys said, with the talk online, but I think when it comes down to your first tag team champions, they're going to go with the star power. And Tony not being the world champion, despite like clearly being the number one woman in the company, some people would say that's a problem, you know, but you know, she had the title for a while. Over the last few years, she's had it for a good chunk of time. I felt like they needed to do something different. So I think putting the tag titles on her and Mina is definitely the way to go. That would for sure be my pick right now.
Yeah, you're getting zero arguments from me there. I think they did it with the trios titles, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. And I already forgot who the first. Oh, actually, they didn't do it with the World Tag Team titles. They put them on SCU to begin everything. But Chris Jericho was the first AEW World Champion. Mm-hmm. Cody Rhodes is TNT. They threw it on Jake Cargill for the TBS. So, I mean, that was just more of a, we're going to see if she can do this. And at the time, we thought it was a good decision. Let's go one more. Who? I don't remember the first All-Atlantic champion. Was it Pac?
I think so. I'm pretty sure it was Pac. I'd have to look that up too.
Yeah, I think it was Pac. So you're right. Sure. Star power is where you want it to start. And Tony Storm is the arguably the largest star right now, or the brightest in the company, yeah. At least in the top two.
Yeah, it was definitely Pac. So Justin had to step away for a second. So while he's doing that, well, now he's back, but I'm just going to throw this in anyways. As I sip from my coffee, I was going to throw this out at the top of the show and I forgot to. So I'm going to share my screen here in a second, because I told the guys that I released something new this morning and I want to show them, because I don't think they've even seen it yet. And as I was sipping from my coffee, it made me think of it, as you're about to see. So you can find the link to this in the broadcast description as well. But boys, I released some new merch this morning on our store. You can also find this at topropenation.com if you'd like, but check it out. Coffee drinking pro wrestling guys.
Yes, I love it. Hell yeah.
I couldn't believe that I'd never done that before. I was sitting there drinking my coffee this morning. I actually was wearing our beer drinking pro wrestling guys t-shirt earlier. I was like, why the hell did I never make a coffee drinking pro wrestling guy? We're always doing these morning shows drinking coffee. How did that not happen? And it's available in multiple colors, but there you go. The espresso color made the most sense to feature. And I also got the mug too, as you can see on the left. So I wanted to shout that out, that there is a new merch drop on our store. It's been a while since I've released something new. There's also that hat there. We had that hat before, but the branded hat it was on was sold out. So I just chose a different blank hat to stitch the logo on. So there's a white Top Rope Nation logo hat also available. It's a flex fit hat.
Okay.
For $26.
Ooh. So,
yes, indeed. I have a sample of that on order right now. So I'm kind of waiting for that to come in before I push this in the group, because I want to make sure that the stitching on it looks good. Yeah. So I will let people know. I'll post a photo of it in our Facebook group, probably social too when it comes in. But I'm pretty excited about that one. We'll see how the stitching, the embroidery turns out.
We all have coffee in our mugs this morning, I'd imagine.
Yes, we do. Cup number two here for me. Mm-hmm. But I'll be drinking out of that mug here, hopefully very soon. All right, let's go to Saturday night's main event. Next Saturday night, it's only going to be on Peacock, not NBC proper. So you have to have that Peacock service if you want to watch WWE Saturday night's main event. Three matches announced for that show right now. I think on the side of the World Heavyweight Championship, which obviously Seth Rollins now injured, going to be out several months with that shoulder injury. They got to crown a new champion, and they got CM Punk taking on Jey Uso for the World Heavyweight Championship. We've got Cody Rhodes defending the WWE Undisputed Championship against Drew McIntyre, and Tiffany Stratton defending the WWE Women's title against Jade Cargill, who had the heel turn the other night. Jesse, how are you feeling about Saturday night's main event?
If they had any balls, they would pull the trigger on all three title changes. Two and a half. Drew McIntyre, again, the niche portion of this. I'm seeing a lot of online discourse saying, why hasn't Drew beaten Cody? I mean, they've been very predictable with world title changes. It's either been at a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam in most cases for the last few years. So I think you have to change it up. Here's the problem that I see, though. You mentioned Peacock. They just signed this ESPN PLE exclusive deal. So are they going to do this on an app, on a free app for most folks? Odds are not looking that good. So I do see one of those titles changing hands, the SmackDown side. And then I guess my last thought would be, it's very lazy to have Jey Uso get pinned by CM Punk in that fatal four-way. Yeah. And then have him come back and win that battle royal. I can kind of understand why You don't have Bron Breakker in this instance. Maybe you want to build this a little bit longer and give him, I think, what could be a signature moment for his career. But you almost want to strike while the iron's hot at some point in time, too, especially since he just laid out the, in kayfabe terms, the world heavyweight champion, Seth Rollins, who's now out for a few months.
Well, reportedly, Breakker is scheduled to get the title in the next few months, but they didn't want to do it, you know, on a show that's only on streaming. They want more people to see it. or a Saturday night's main event, sorry, that's only on Peacock, that a lot of people are probably going to miss out on because it's not your standard PLE situation. It's not an ESPN, obviously, with the PLEs now. So that makes sense.
Which is super easy to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a whole different topic on ESPN reportedly being... Although there's been some pushback on that story, but you know, the first story was that they're kind of disappointed on how many subscribers were coming over, and that whole thing's a huge cluster. I mean, not getting the agreements in place with the cable companies like they promised early on, no YouTube TV support. That's been a huge, huge issue. And I'm sailing the high seas for all those shows right now, personally.
Yeah. I mean, you're asking a percentage of your audience to spend an extra $30 a month. And in this case, especially where we're at economically, who wants to do that right now?
These streaming prices are completely out of control. I was talking to my wife last night because, Justin, we were watching The Paper, which is just we just finished season one. Fun show. Really like it. On solid. TikTok. But I was telling my wife, you know, when the WWE library is off Peacock, I'm probably canceling this. I'll activate it when the next season of The Paper comes out. I don't know, maybe for basketball. I'll probably downgrade my tier because I got the tier that is no ads because I hate sitting through the ads when I'm watching classic stuff for our Patreon shows. And that was $10 a couple of years ago. I think it's $18 now. It's like more than doubled the price. And I think the $5 tier is $10 now, right? The ads version, they almost doubled the prices. And that's like every service. HBO went up recently. YouTube TV's gone up like crazy since I first got it. I can't justify paying that for that ESPN app. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to travel to Canada or London on Netflix every time there's a PLE, and that's how I'm going to watch it. More cost effective, for
sure. Support North America, eh? Yeah, go to Canada.
That's right. Speaking of streaming, you guys, we talked about this in our text thread, and you guys wanted me to maybe bring it up. I think Justin, you had thrown out with the WBD stuff and what's happening there with the sale. There's a lot happening here. Did I miss something? Something in the chat?
You did.
Ryan got his hair back. Oh,
yeah.
Jesse last week had my name tag. I did see that.
Mm-hmm.
My hair has magically grown back.
Rogan, yes, it has. Hell of a drug. Lighter complected, too.
Yes. So... There's a lot of moving pieces with this. I can't say I'm totally up to date. I can kind of go off of what Dave had in The Observer about this. Basically, WBD is like looking at splitting the companies. They sent out this press release about a week ago, last Tuesday, the 21st, and noted, you know, they're putting the company up for sale, and they want to advance. They basically are looking at separating the two companies. So Warner Brothers would be one entity, which would be comprised of the movies and the streaming. And then they're going to have Discovery Global, which are the cable TV stations. Now, they're already like receiving interest from lots of different parties. They're scheduled to separate the companies sometime in mid-2026, but they're also listening to offers from people who would include both ends of the company or individual sales based on the split that they're looking at. So, I mean, there's been lots of different companies interested: Paramount, Skydance, Netflix, Comcast, Amazon is now in the bidding for it. It's really hard to forecast where this is going. You know, nobody really knows. Nobody really knows what this is going to mean for AEW long-term either. So, you know, right now there's a lot of different figures out there and on, you know, what could possibly what this company could go for, the two different entities could go for. There's some thought that Comcast is not going to be able to win the bidding war because of who the president is right now and him not liking Comcast because they own MSNBC. There's a bunch of just ridiculous shit happening in this country. I'll just leave that at that. You know, you wouldn't want the government to influence how this goes, but it might. So we'll see what happens. I don't really have too many specifics. Everybody's kind of talking about it in the background, but it's all speculation right now. We have no idea where this is going.
I guess, you know, the concern is, do you think there's any chance that this could almost make AEW go away if the wrong people buys Warner Brothers and, you know, there isn't another buyer out there for AEW? You know, you'd think if for some reason Paramount buys Warner Brothers, obviously they already have an agreement with TKO on the UFC side. And that would really just kind of leave, you know, Amazon and Apple as the big companies that could possibly, you know, put AEW on their quote unquote streaming or television. You know, I don't know how, to your point, Ryan, it's all kind of speculation. We don't know how this stuff works, especially with the contracts. You know, if somebody buys out Warner Brothers, does that just completely negate the, you know, the agreement that AEW has with Warner Brothers? A lot up in the air, but it is, you know, it's a little scary as someone who prefers options with professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly what the stakes are in AEW's ownership, you know, how much WBD could own, if anything. I mean, obviously the Khan family owns the primary interest in the company, so I don't know that it would make it go away. I think that they have numbers as far as like pay-per-view numbers, live event numbers, obviously, which are improving, and then the TV numbers, which would potentially like make them appealing to other entities if they were to somehow get cut. You know, they do have these contracts, and the interesting thing about the contracts is they have a deal with HBO Max, and then they also have the deal with TBS and TNT. So you're talking about the cable side, but also the streaming side. So the way that the sale goes is going to depend on if one company buys both streaming and cable, or if it's separate, you know, between the companies. Now, apparently, according to Dave, Paramount Skydance is believed to be interested in both sides, movies and streaming and the TV stations. So if they went out, they would, you know, be on both sides of the coin. But we don't really know. I'll just read straight from The Observer. Meltzer writes, essentially, the biggest story regarding the future of AEW will change in many different ways over the next year or two. But there are so many variables regarding who will buy, what will they buy, who will they put in charge, and how will AEW be doing on HBO Max and TBS TNT to have a clue as to what this means for AEW today. Basically, anything can happen in 2027, and a lot will happen before 2027. So, I mean, it's really, really up in the air. I kind of agree with what Carl said in the chat here. If AEW are putting on a good product, then they will find a home. I agree. I don't think it's going to make them go away, but it might impact, you know, where it airs and how it airs for sure. And yeah, to Tim's point, companies merging is terrible. to have less choice in the marketplace is always going to be really, really bad. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens there.
I think somebody made a point that like the four richest folks right now own basically everything. So when it comes to all of this merging, yeah, the options are becoming limited and it's going to hurt niche products like pro wrestling.
Yeah. So outside of that, was there something news wise we're going to hit on before we get to the main topic that I haven't brought up? I'm trying to think.
I think that was the big one.
Yeah. I'm just kind of scrolling through my notes, but I think I mostly hit everything. Saturday night's main event, tag tournament for sure. Warner Brothers Discovery. I think we're good. So let me put this graphic on this. If anything comes to me, I'll throw it in at the end of the show. But let me put this graphic on the screen because we are going to talk about, there we go, who we think are the current top 10 North American wrestlers. Now, this can be comprised of men. This can be comprised of women. You can mix them both. You're mixing the companies, obviously, as we talk about where we think things stand right now. Okay, so you see the URL here on the screen. The link's in the video description here on YouTube if you're with us live. We'd love to get you guys involved. You can record this right on your phone if you go to the URL. You can do it on your computer, whatever. You got 90 seconds to leave a message, and I can include those in the show. If you go to speakpipe.com/toprope nation, give us your top 10. Now, you might have to think about it a little while. I certainly had to think about this. And then I revised my notes again this morning as to where I was going to rank these. Now, Jesse, I think this was your idea, right? You threw it out in the text or group chat. So do you want to introduce anything more about this before we get started?
I might revise this on the fly as soon as I hear some of your answers, if I'm being 100% honest. I think I like to use different types of categories. So for me, it's always in-ring, promo, crowd connection. I splice in like 15-20% kayfabe here in this instance, where championships mean something. But I think character connection is very important in this aspect. So just kind of throwing your blend in and giving us your top 10 wrestlers in WWE and AEW. And for this exercise, because there's one performer specifically that I had to omit what they did in Japan, I went strictly off of what they've done in the United States, Canada, and Mexico.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, Justin, a struggle for you in doing this as well?
Yes. I believe I had four drafts of my top 10. I'm going off the same stuff mostly as Jesse. I kind of lumped together promo and character because I don't want to dock somebody too much if they're not the best at a promo, if they can still get across, you know, who their character is and can get across their personality and connect with the crowd. I think we're all pretty in line with how we're looking at this for the most part. I did not take into effect drawing power that much, because that's just something I don't really pay attention to anymore as far as like numbers and whatnot. It's just so hard to read that for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. Well, who wants to start us off?
I'm assuming we're going to count down to number one, right?
Yeah, that was something else I wanted to talk about, like how we should go about doing this, because I don't know if us going one by one is the best way to do this, because we're going to be all over the map, and then somebody's probably going to have like someone at 8 that someone just talked about at 9. Would it be better just read your full list and you can kind of give us your thoughts as you go down it?
Or we just start with number one, and then like if you have that person lower down, it's not as impactful. If like, say, if we start at 10 and somebody's like, oh, that's my number one, and ooh, then we're kind of even more all over the place.
Okay. I'm also thinking about trying to make a graphic to put up on the screen as I go. So I'm very much multitasking. Maybe we need a producer on this show.
It's an impressive performance if you can do that.
I got a tab up right now where I'm going to try to make a graphic with all of our names on it, with our top 10 lists, you know, as we go down. Like, obviously I could do mine, but I haven't heard the list for Justin and Jesse yet. I could have asked you guys to send it to me to make the graphic in advance, but I didn't want to impact what I was going to read off on, you know, on my list. So I don't know. I guess we can make this a democratic election and we can vote. Jesse, how would you, this is your idea, how do you think we should best go about it?
Yeah, good call.
How about we go from 10 to 6? We read off 10 to 6 each, leave that top 5 empty.
Okay.
And then I think that'll work. Let's go 10 to 6.
Okay. Why don't you start us off then? Let's do it that way.
Ooh, this is hard. Okay. There were four people I considered for that number 10 spot. I took injuries into account as well, so that removed two people off specifically. Mm-hmm. So I have a tie at number 10 between two world champions of different companies, Chris Statlander in AEW and Cody Rhodes in the WWE.
Ooh, spicy.
Tied for 10th. Cody has been stale. I have to honor the fact, though, that there is still a giant crowd connection. He is arguably one of the most popular wrestlers in the number one recognized promotion in the world. So that was my reason for that. Statlander has been on fire, I think, these last few months. And I took win-loss record into account as well. It's something I love to do. And other than, I think, Megan Bain being her Achilles heel, she's been near 100% for this over the last 10 months. So yeah, Chris Statlander and Cody are my number 10. Okay. Should I keep going?
I think you can just give us your 10 through 6. Yeah.
Okay. Right, I will be a little bit shorter with the rest. Number nine, Stephanie Vaquer, WWE Women's Champion on the Raw side. She's been on fire as well. This is where I'm like, I might be changing my list. I might have this person way too low. Ooh, number eight, John Moxley. I have John Moxley eight. I have number seven, Kenosuke Takeshita. I took out his New Japan work for this exercise. If you throw that in there, I got him in my top five likely. And number six, Bandido.
Wow. All right.
I think I should follow up because that connects to mine pretty seamlessly. I also apologize in advance. Ryan, you made a note off air that there seems to be a noise machine going on in the background, and that is me. My furnace is blasting right now. So when I'm not talking, I will be on mute. I cheated, just like Jesse. I have a tie at number 10, and it is Takeshita and Bandido. An argument could be made that those two are the best in the ring. For me, I have them down there at 10 just because, you know, not great promos, not a whole lot of personality to them. Basically, they are, you know, just superb in-ring workers, which is why I have them at number 10. Number nine, just because he slightly has a little bit more personality, but he can go just the same in the ring when he's feeling like it, I have Okada. Number eight, maybe this is low. I don't feel like it because, again, kind of like with the rest of them, great in the ring, but a little abrasive personality-wise, which I also think is kind of the point. Not the greatest promo, but she is one of the all-time greats, and to me, she's got to be on the list, and that is Mercedes Moné. Number seven, great combination. In the ring, personality, argument could be made. He's the best in the ring. Mark Briscoe. And number six, along the same lines, he's starting to prove himself with the personality in the promo. He still has a ways to go. But again, argument could be made. Best in the ring. And that is Kyle Fletcher.
All right. All right. Give me a second. I'm updating my my list here. But Justin, any thoughts on Justin's list?
Intriguing. I'll spoil this. There's only one person he mentioned that's not in my top 10.
Oh, well, I will do a little spoiler. You're 9 and 10. You know, Stephanie, Cody, and Statlander, not on my list.
I think Jesse and I are going to have the most similar list for sure.
I'm not surprised.
I got a little bit of overlap, and I got some new names here too.
Good.
All right. So at my number 10, I have WWE's Io Sky, as I still believe she's probably pound for pound the best women's wrestler in WWE, maybe men and women. And I just felt like I needed to put her on the list. She's been world champion relatively recently as well. So I think she's still important to the product. I think she always has the crowd connection. I mean, go back to when she won the world title and it shocked everybody. You know, the crowd loves her too. A draw? Well, I mean, they just had the Japan tour. She's probably a draw there. In the U.S., I don't know, in middle of the pack for sure. She's not like a big time drawing power by any means, but I think just the fact of how good she is in the ring had me put her at number 10. And then number nine, I have another WWE person here, Stephanie Vaquer. I've talked about this on the show, how the last time I was on here 2 weeks ago, I think, was the time I ranted about WWE creative and how stale it is. You know, but at the same time, the women's division, specifically on Raw, is the most intriguing thing to me going right now. And I think the rise of Stephanie Vaquer and making things interesting in the women's division has been a big success for them. You know, she's a good worker too. Sky's a better worker, but she's no slouch for sure. And she's really, really popular right now. So I got her at number nine. And to keep this female heavy, number eight is also a woman, Mercedes Moné. Just, you know, obviously with the belt collecting gimmick that she's doing, which, by the way, I saw on the news, $25,000 per indie appearance is her fee right now.
Holy smokes. Jeez.
And, you know, she won, what, three titles in three different companies last weekend in 3 days? Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., which is, I don't think anybody has ever done that before. She's obviously kind of a key part to what AEW is doing right now. And, you know, behind Tony, probably the most important part of the women's division. So I got to go Mercedes Moné at number eight. Excuse me. Could use the cough button, but I'm a rookie.
a pro's pro, that Ryan Drosty.
Number seven, maybe going to ruffle some feathers with this one, but I also felt like I had to put him on here. And this is why I modified our graphic this morning when I started thinking about drawing power, when Jesse brought that up in our group chat. Got to put the punkster on there. I got CM Punk at number seven. And, you know, we talked about how we feel about his decisions over the last couple of years and what that makes us think about him just overall in his career. But the guy still works well. Mm-hmm. He had a match I was really high on with Gunther over the summer. He's in the world title picture. You know, I still think he's probably going to win it at some point, whether that's Saturday Night's main event or down the line. Obviously, one of the top merch movers in WWE and definitely a draw still. So I got to put Punk at number seven. And then I put Kazuchika Okada at number six. If you're a patron, you probably saw my star ratings last weekend for Wrestle Dream. I love that tag team match. I love what they're building between him and Takeshita. To Justin's point, when he wants to, he can still really go. So I think that feud that's going to lead up to the match between him and Okada Takeshita, yes, is going to be phenomenal.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm more high on Okada right now than I have been in many years. So he sits just outside the top five for me. So that's where I'm at right now. Now, I think I actually have a graphic that's partially complete that I could put on the screen for our viewers. Ooh. Before we go into our top four. Let me see.
Yeah.
Let me just see if this works. Sorry, we're doing this live on the fly. I just got to replace this graphic. Maybe.
The amazing graphic.
So this is not it. Wrong one, I think.
Damn it. Here we go.
That is not it. Hold on.
That's the thumbnail. Spoiler.
Yeah, and you know,
how beautiful
again,
that is.
Again, if you guys have thoughts on this, you can hit us in the voicemail. Would love to play those here at the end of the show. But here we go.
I'm starting to think that my revision that I did right before we got on air was a mistake.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So that's our 10 through 6. I believe I got everybody's right on that graphic. Does that look right, gentlemen?
Yes.
Yes.
Mine is right. Okay. I like the just a minor little, you know, overlap. You guys both have Akira at number nine, and me and Ryan both have Mercedes at number eight. Mm-hmm. I dig it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is helpful to actually have the list now on the screen. So you guys, if you're watching at least, so you can see it. So again, just for the podcast listeners, I can read through it one time. Jesse had Cody and Statlander tied at number 10. Stephanie Vaccaro at number nine, Moxley at eight, Takeshita at seven, Bandido at six. Justin had Takeshita and Bandido tied at 10, Okada at nine, Moné at eight, Briscoe at seven, Fletcher at six. And I had Io Sky at 10, Vaccaro at nine, Moné at eight, Punk at seven, and Okada at six.
I'm actually, even more so than our top five, I think I'm more curious about the people that we left off and why. Cause I know I had a couple just brutal cuts that I hated leaving off.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do that at the end. Like our just missed, because I've got a Google doc here where I just threw out everybody I would consider. And then I whittled that down to like 12, and then I whittled it down again. And then I redid it again. So I've got a bunch of people that I can call out that just barely missed my list.
I had 25 names on a list. I would actually add a 26th from the chat. I missed out on Mystico. I would add him in there too.
Yeah. When you first brought it up, I had him on my list, but then I just, with North America, to me, that was just kind of, you know, excluded CMLL and AAA. Maybe that was a mistake, but, and also I, you know, Zack Sabre Jr., if we were going to count New Japan and stuff, but nope.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to this view as we,
ooh,
there we are. There's the voicemail line if you want to get involved and give us your top 10, as I said. But yeah, let's go back now. We'll do our top five. Jesse, you're up. What do you got?
Okay, so I guess one thing I weighted a lot of this towards, I think I went a little more in-ring as opposed to character, and I'll get into that a little bit later. Number five, I have Kazuchika Okada there.
Oh, okay.
He is starting to do some of the best work that we've seen since probably 2018, 2019. Mm-hmm. He's undefeated, by the way, for those who, from a singles perspective these days. Number four, I also weighed this a little higher. I mean, she'd be higher if she was a better promo. Mercedes Moné, her work speaks for itself. I think she is doing a good job with her character these days mm-hmm. as well. So you could argue it's some of the best work of her career as well, but jury remains out on that. Number three, this guy could be number one very, very soon. Kyle Fletcher. A career year, probably the best in-ring worker right now. I mean, you could argue Bandido, Takeshita, I think whatever mm-hmm. your cup of tea is, but yeah, he's it. I mean, he's the real deal. When he becomes a free agent, if that happens, the bidding war should be very high. I think the other side should be throwing in a lot of money at him. Number two, this one's pretty slam dunk for me. Tony Storm, easily the probably still the best character in all of wrestling. She's been world champion during this time period, putting on good performances in the ring to supplement what I just said. I mean, on point with her character. Number one, I mean, he's been undefeated all year long. He leads a promotion. It's Hangman Adam Page. Character work, spot on. Crowd absolutely loves him and arguably had possibly match of the year. I mean, he's for sure top three with John Moxley. I'll get back to Moxley in the later discussion because I'm starting to feel like I underrated him just a little bit.
All right. I like it.
Ooh, man, I'm just fascinated to see where Ryan's going to go here because I don't know. My top five is looking interesting, although there are some very similar ones as Jesse there. Number five, my one and only WWE superstar. Nice. And someone that I'm kind of concerned with isn't even on your guys' list, isn't on Jesse's. Rhea Ripley is my number five. To me, she's the total package when it comes to a professional wrestler. You know, not exactly the best promo, but a believable one. You know, she's locked into the character. She can get across her personality. And I just think she's the best wrestler in the WWE period. Number four, you know, someone who I have compared to Cactus Jack, at least in ring, with the way they use their body as a weapon. Truly, I think the most unique in-ring wrestler. There's just nobody like him. Not a great promo, but again, kind of like with Ripley, he gets the personality across. You know, you believe the character. That's Darby Allin. I just think he is like special. It feels like an event anytime he's wrestling in the ring. And kind of this works for me. Number three, right after Darby, Mox, the ace of AEW. Mm-hmm. If you've been listening to the pod at all for a long time, you know, we were very down on the Death Rider angle for a long time. You know, even if you're just counting this year, 2025, it got off to a bad start. You know, I hated the Edge match at Revolution, but I think what he's done over the summer and spring is just fantastic stuff. One of the most locked in guys when it comes to in-ring and character. And number two, number one, Jesse, we're in lockstep, buddy. Tony Storm, Hangman Page. Mm-hmm. Tony Storm's number two, Hangman's number one for me. Got all the same reasons that you already mentioned. Tony Storm is just the epitome of being able to pull off a character that literally nobody else could do. That character in anybody else's hands is a fucking mess. I brought this up in our Wrestle Dream review. She wrestles like the character. You know, you go back to any of her matches, you know, and she's pretty special with the way that she carries herself. Just a fantastic performer. And Hangman, you know, what's there to say? You know, the man.
Yeah. Well, some of our top five is going to be really similar and some's going to be drastically different. So this is good. This is good. That was another thing noted on our survey is they like it when we disagree.
Yes.
John is saying in the chat that he forgot Fletcher. Interestingly, so we do have a couple of voicemails in, which we're going to get to here at the end. So, yeah, keep those coming. We want to get you guys involved. This was just an idea I had the other day. Like, let's involve callers. And a couple of our guys in the chat have already submitted their thoughts. So, again, there is the URL you can go to and give us your top 10.
And I just want to reiterate, we did not include people who are currently injured or out. So that, they're just not in here. This is current right now, top 10 wrestlers in the, in North America.
Yeah. So no Ospreay, no Swerve, no Seth Rollins. Like they're all
MJF.
Eligible right now. MJF.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So certainly in a few months, this is probably going to look a lot different when some of these people get back. I mean, next summer for sure would look way different. So, all right, I'll get to my top five. So I got Takeshita at number five. Right ahead of Okada, those two back to back. Again, really high in what they're doing there. Takeshita is the IWGP champion. When he walked out the other night on Dynamite, to confront Okada, as the whole Don Callis family was in the ring and he had the belt over his shoulder, I just kept thinking, this is just so close. But God damn it, bring back the old IWGP heavyweight title.
Oh,
that belt
just
sucks. This new belt, I can't believe they're still using it. That last belt they had was one of the top three belts in the history of pro wrestling. And I was like, man, how awesome would this visual be if he had that belt on his shoulder?
And the weird thing, they completely changed the lineage of the world title too. Like, once they brought this belt in, all the previous ones were scrapped. It's so weird. Such a strange choice by New Japan.
Yeah. But I'm super high on Takeshita. All of us have been on the pod for years now. So he makes my top five. And then at number four, I got Kyle Fletcher as well. As Jesse said, in the running for one of the best workers in the business right now. He is that guy that it's always exciting in wrestling when you have someone who's like just on the periphery of the main event scene, who you can see getting there, who's got the undercard title and, they're kind of grooming for that next spot. Several months ago, that was Jacob Fatu on the other brand. Now he's got his situation going on where he's out of action too. And I was really high on him. He was kind of on the up and up for WWE. And I think he'll eventually be a world champion too, but he's not eligible because of his dental surgery he had recently. So there's another injured guy. He's out for dental surgery. On AEW side, on AEW side, it's Kyle Fletcher, man. I mean, every time this guy goes out there, he has
so good,
phenomenal matches. Him and Briscoe, I think, are going to have another one. They teased it the other night. I think that's still in the running, and I'll look forward to that. Now, I don't have Briscoe on my list, but I did consider him. He was one of my just missed the marks. We'll talk more about that here in a second. Number three. I'm going to ruffle more feathers with some of you.
Oh,
but
boy.
I had to put Cody on here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I had to. He's the top babyface in the biggest wrestling promotion in the world. I just kind
no
of
arguments.
Felt drawing power. Justin, you sent something in our group chat the other day about him and your issues with Cody about him not being authentic. And I agree with all of that, just to be clear. But he's, he's a solid worker. He's not a top tier worker. His promos are bland for me, but the audience likes it. He draws money. He's the top guy in WWE. So I just kind of felt like I had to put him in here. So he's my number three. And then, our top two are going to be pretty lockstep. I got Toni Storm at number two. I said it earlier in the show. She's the number one woman in the industry, I think, and definitely in AEW. And everything she does is captivating. She's a great worker. Promos are next level. Toni Storm's my number two. And then I do think that all around, pound for pound, the best in the industry right now on October 26, 2025, is Hangman Adam Page. He's the man in AEW. He's a better worker than Cody Rhodes over on the other side. Sure, WWE is a bigger company. It's drawing more money. There's no question about that. But as a performer, Hangman Page is way more captivating to me as a fan. And, they're in this spot right now with him where we were kind of talking about this on text last night. He might not have that challenger lined up right now. And it feels like what they're doing with Joe is just kind of treading water to get him through the next few months where, I do think it's going to be Joe and they're going to have a rematch. And I could see this going months. I even threw out to you guys Would it be possible, and this was because I had a conversation last night with our friend Jay about this, if they would hotshot the title to Joe just to extend the program for then Hangman to win it back from him. And that's not something that AEW usually does, but it's also a feud that could carry you a few months. So I'm really curious where that feud goes. But Hangman's a guy, he's carrying AEW's top title. Let me update our list here and we can see this visually here. To me, he's the number one person in the industry right now, just captivating as hell and my number one. So there we go. Our top two across the board are exactly the same. That's kind of what I expected going in, though. And we got some variants along the way with WWE and AEW, though. So John and Carl, who are our two callers so far, said that they included some injured guys because they didn't realize that was
on our, fair.
Yeah, that's fine. We didn't clarify that at the beginning, so we'll still play those. They'll be a little bit different than ours, and probably some of those injured people would have made our list if we had considered them. But yeah, there you are. You're getting your flavors of WWE, AEW down the board. I can read through them one more time and just all together. And then we can talk about who just barely missed our list. Actually, Jesse, read your top 10 in sequence.
Cody Rhodes and Chris Statlander at 10. Stephanie Vaquer at 9. John Moxley at 8. Konosuke Takeshita at 7. Bandido at 6, Okada at 5, Mercedes Moné 4, Kyle Fletcher 3, Tony Storm 2, and Hangman Page number 1.
All right, Justin.
Number 10, a tie, Takeshita and Bandido. Number 9, Okada. Number 8, Mercedes Moné. 7, Mark Briscoe. 6, Kyle Fletcher. 5, Rhea Ripley. 4, Darby. 3, Mox. 2, Storm. 1, Hangman. Also, only 6 wrestlers that appear on all 3 of our top 10s.
Interesting. I got 10, Io Sky, 9, Stephanie Vaquer, 8, Mercedes Moné, 7, CM Punk, 6, Kazuchika Okada, 5, Konosuke Takeshita, 4, Kyle Fletcher, 3, Cody Rhodes, 2, Tony Storm, and number 1, Hangman Adam Page.
Real quick, I want to touch, because this is something I thought of like almost immediately after me and Jesse recorded the Wrestle Dream review, regarding Carl's comment here about Hangman, which I agree with to an extent. He says, my issue with Hangman's booking, I have him very high on my list, is that he's not being placed in the most important issue in AEW as champion, similar to 21-22 until Punk feud. I agree with that. You know, I do wish that he was put in a little bit more prominent position, but I think the difference is, to me this time, is he truly feels like the number one guy. He feels like the top guy in the company, which was not the case during his first championship reign, where he was, it did feel like, you know, he was not the most important person. It was Punk, it was Danielson. That showed in the booking of the shows, and he just didn't feel like the number one guy. This time, to me, irregardless of, you know, what story he's in or where he's at on the card, he feels like the number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
In a couple of the instances, it's been, yeah, lights out match you had an I quit scenario, which I guess the way that, yeah, with the Missouri Athletic Commission, it makes sense that that had to main event, I suppose. But I mean, something you could have thrown in a little bit later. I think from here on out, Hangman's going to start main eventing every single show as he rightfully should. So yeah, he's just a much more polished product. And to one point with Hangman and Cody, Cody himself back in 2019 anointed Hangman Page as the guy that's going to emerge when AEW starts. He was correct.
So did John Moxley, too, from what I've heard, as Moxley, yep, a couple of years ago called him out and said, this is the guy. He's going to be the guy that carries the company. And yeah, I don't know. Like, story-wise, you couldn't main event with his match with Joe, just to Jesse's point, with the violence they had scheduled, which would have been even more violent if the state commission didn't step in. They got to get that out of pro wrestling. But I think when you watch the shows, I do think he is positioned as the top guy. I think it's clear when he comes out, he's the man in the company, regardless of what's happening storyline wise. Yeah, I mean, as I said, they don't have a lot of great challengers lined up seemingly for him right now, which we've definitely been harsh on WWE and Cody for that. So we got to be fair here. There are people who could be, obviously, like MJF, who's out, or like Swerve with their history, who's out. So like injuries are an issue there for his future. So, you know, I do think this Joe thing's going to continue for a while because Joe's a guy who can work in that. He's a former champion. He's believable in the role. He's a really good wrestler. And I think they can carry that out. I'm curious if, you know, if they did hotshot the title to Joe and then they came back in December, they do like a cage match or something to blow it all off. And, you know, Hangman won it back at World's End. Selfishly, I'm going to be there, so I would love to see that. But, but you know, we'll see. I think there is an argument to be made of to do something like that, just to extend the feud until they get some of these other guys back healthy.
Something that I wish, I mentioned this last night in our text thread, I wish in over the last few months they could have found a way for Bobby Lashley and Ricochet to be presented as bigger deals, because I had them both earmarked as soon as Hangman won. I said, I think Lashley at Full Gear would be an awesome match, but you got to start building in something they haven't done. So it's because Hangman now is running, he's kind of running out of heel opponents. I think continuing this feud with Samoa Joe makes a lot more sense. You're going to have a lot of time in between pay-per-views too. So I think kind of forecasting down the road, I have a weird feeling that it's going to be MJF Hangman at Revolution in 2026.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I could see that for sure. All right. Last call, you guys. There's the line. If you want, you got up to 90 seconds. If you go to that URL, we can get you involved in the show. I'm going to leave this on the screen as we talk about our just missed people, and then we'll go to the voicemails here. So get those in. Last call on that. I'll start. Some of the people that I had that I was considering when I initially just threw out a bunch of names, when I was just brainstorming, Moxley was obviously on the list. Moxley just barely missed my list, but he was in the running for sure. I had Bandido. I had Mark Briscoe. I had Athena, who I was considering. I think that's everyone that I didn't actually get to. Well, yeah. Yeah, because at first I had some injured wrestlers and had to take them out of the running here for sure. But I drastically changed my initial order that I had. So as I went down and I kept making out lists, like I started moving them around a little bit. And then I felt like I wasn't being fair to WWE. And then I kind of changed that a little bit. Like originally Cody was not even in my top 10. And then as I redid it, I ended up boosting him to number 3. So just a huge change there. I didn't have Punk. Actually, no, I did have Punk in my original brainstorm, but he was way down the list and I ended up getting him up there at number 7. Jesse, who did you have that just barely missed your list that you were considering?
Before we get to that, I think the most shocking omission is Jon Moxley off of your top 10 list, Ryan.
Yeah.
Agree.
Now I'm feeling more validated about putting him back down at 8.
Like he's 11 or 12 probably for me right now. I couldn't put him. He's important to the company for sure. Not a title holder, but always could be. What did you call him, Justin? Like he's that steadfast guy for AEW, the ace.
Yeah, he's the ace.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Top 10 when you're considering two big companies is really tough. And I did have how many? I had like 4 WWE people on this list. Yeah, it was tough. He's probably next person up for me though.
If Rollins is not hurt, he is replacing Cody for me. I think that would bump Statlander off the list for me. Ospreay is another easy one. I mean, if you take account what he's done in 2025, if he's healthy, he's number 3 on my list with a bullet. So those were two very similar here. I had a lot of WWE here. Rhea Ripley was one that you mentioned. Io Sky, I had her in my top 10 last night and then took her off afterwards. I did have Athena, Gunther, a couple other names mentioned. I think I said Punk already. The other one was Athena. I also felt that if Tiffany Stratton had more of a character, she'd be very, very close to the top 10 as well, just because she only has one loss so far as well in 2025. So a lot of honorable mentions.
All right, Justin.
Yeah, my toughest omission, my number 11 would be Samoa Joe, the guy we were just talking about a minute ago. To reiterate the injury and am I still here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I just had a little pop-up that said, oops, something went wrong. To reiterate the injuries and not there, you know, MJF, Ospreay, Gunther, Chad Gable, Kevin Owens, you know, those are kind of the big names. People I would consider if it wasn't for the fact just that I think they've been booked poorly. Oh, Jacob Fatu is the other big injury one. He would absolutely be in there. Bad bookings, just not interested. But guys I like, and I'm, you know, curious as to what's going to happen with them. Bron Breakker, Drew McIntyre, Trick Williams, Oba Femi was another one I had considered. Athena just missed the list. She's not really on TV. Personality, character needs a little bit of work. But, you know, as far as going in the ring, there's probably, you know, nobody better. Big name that I don't believe has been mentioned, in which kind of proves why he is not on our list. Kenny Omega, just sporadically showing up and having matches that are, I would say, below, you know, the level that we're used to with him, but a big name. So yeah, those were kind of my big omissions. I never even consider, you know, anybody who listens, again, you guys know I'm biased. I can't be objective with this kind of stuff. This is my list. These are my tastes. You know, so a guy like Cody in Punk just never even kind of entered the conversation for me. And I would consider Punk way before I'd consider Cody.
And the only reason I didn't have Darby near a list at all is because he's barely worked in 2025. He's just been doing this since the July, end of July.
And you know, to that point, again, for me, it was just right now. You know, I didn't really take into account a whole lot the entirety of 2025.
Okay. Someone who's actually been doing really good work and just lost his United States title, we didn't mention either, Sami Zayn. I think would be another guy that I would have loved to have gotten near the top 10. But other than that, yeah, I named everybody I wanted to.
Yeah, Rollins for sure would have been on my list if we had this a couple of weeks ago. But the unfortunate injury obviously took him out of the running. Same with Jacob Fatu. I would have considered him also. All right. So we got a couple of voicemails we can get to here. We got, I think John was first. So I'm going to play these in order and then we'll go to Carl's. So first time I've done this. So hopefully this will work and you all will hear this on the stream. Let's get these going here.
Hey guys, John from the UK. So my top 10 in no particular order. Will Ospreay, Io Sky, Hangman Adam Page, Bandido, Drew McIntyre, Chris Statlander, Tony Storm, Cody Rhodes, got to have Kenny Omega in there, Swerve Strickland, and then a honorable mention to Mercedes Moné.
All right, interesting. Some of the names we just talked about.
Yeah,
he had Cody on his, interestingly. So
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, maybe Drew should get some consideration. That's a good call.
If we did this in about a week or two, he might be considered, depending on what happens next Saturday night.
Yeah, yep. So, obviously, John, didn't hear our no injury rule at the beginning. So we should have called that out at first. But yeah, some of those people like Swerve, Ospreay, they would have been considered on our list for sure if they were not injured. John, everybody hates how they sound. Sometimes I hate editing the show because I hate how I sound. But yeah.
The only time I listen to Top Rope Nation are the episodes I am not on.
Damn it.
Because every time I listen to me, I want to quit the pod.
Oh no.
Yeah. Harsh on himself, my God. All right, let's get to Carl.
Well, 90 seconds is a quick amount of time to do a top 10. Just want to give an honorable mention to Will Ospreay. He isn't in my top 10 because he isn't currently active. If he was going to be back in the short term, I would have put him in there and he would have been top 3. But he's obviously going to be out for quite a while, so I'm not including him in there. Similarly, Swerve Strickland, I think, because he's going to have effectively missed half of 2025, I don't think I can put him on a current top 10 list. So my top 10, Io Sky at number 10, Kanosuke Takeshita at number 9, when you don't factor in his Japan stuff, Kyle Fletcher at number 8, Stephanie Vicker at number 7. I could easily flip those two around, see an argument for that. Similar, I could flip these two around, CM Punk number 6, Rhea Ripley number 5. John Moxley number 4, and it hasn't been for me, but he's been used as a glue that's held AEW together. Number 3 might be controversial, that's Gunther. Number 2, Hangman Adam Page. And number 1, for me, the stand-up form in North America for the last 2 years, Tony Storm. I think she deserves that position. We'll just give a quick nod to Mercedes Moné, who was on the fringes of my top 10. I just think character-wise, it's a bit too grating, and I don't think that's maybe the intent of the character. That's why I've not included her.
Very good. John and Carl, appreciate you both calling in. We got Io Sky from both of them, so that's cool. Get Io some credit. They're overlapping with my list there. Like no, to hear that.
I was so close to having her in, and then I took into account her win-loss record, and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
You're coming off.
So my goal with this call line, this is a super cool feature. I've been thinking about doing this for a while and just didn't have the infrastructure in place to do it. But when there's the pay-per-views, we're going to be doing this and it'll be open for hours. So you can just call in your thoughts in the aftermath of a pay-per-view and we'll just play through all of them on the show when we review them. I think that'll be a lot of fun. So you have more time to get involved. I'll send the link out on Patreon and all that stuff too. But yeah, I'm glad a couple of you got involved. We got more people in the chat too. And this has been a fun show, Jesse. Appreciate you coming up with the idea. And we should probably do this like every quarter and update, you know, where things stand. And then we can compare to where we were the last quarter.
Ooh, that's a hell of an idea, especially like you said, when returns happen, because mm-hmm. all of the skill that we mentioned in there that has been omitted because of injuries is kind of glaring. Because if you would have gone back mm-hmm. to this time last year, I'd say half of those people would not be on this list, including Kyle Fletcher. I don't think he'd be in a top 10 if you looked at it this time.
Yeah, for sure. All right, real quick before we wrap the show, you guys, let's talk about some things that are coming down the pipe here at TRN and the TRN offices. So we've got Top Rope Nation Classics on WCW Halloween Havoc 1989, which is going to drop for our patrons here. We're going to record this in the next couple of weeks. Got to work out a time for sure, but that is coming. TRN Extra, I recorded one the other day specifically on my review of Wrestle Dream. I also did the Bleacher Report show from my hotel in Chicago, but I wasn't able to pull the audio this time. So I recorded a dedicated extra for our Patreon supporters, and that was posted this week. Jesse posted an unplugged also for our Patreon supporters. And I think one of the things people noted in their survey is I should go over what the benefits are of the Patreon again on the show, because some people aren't aware of the different tiered benefits you get. So I'm going to share my screen here really quick and kind of talk about, you know, the different options on Patreon and how you can support the show and get this bonus content from us. All right. So if you look on the screen here, the most popular tier is the $5 tier. And on that tier, you get access to Top Rope Nation Classics. You get access to Top Rope Nation Extra. You also get access to Top Rope Nation Unplugged, Jesse's show. You get all of our shows ad-free. If you're on our main podcast feed, there's ads. If you get on the Patreon feed, there are no ads whatsoever. You get my star ratings for every WWE and AEW PLE, which I might expand on. Right now, I just list the star ratings for every match. I might start adding some analysis as well that's been mentioned in our surveys as like kind of a written feature. There is a Patreon-only Facebook group. You get your name at the bottom of the screen, as I did earlier here. In our, right at the beginning, I think I had the names tick by. Yeah, I definitely didn't forget that. That was on there. We do that every week. You know, you see all the names scroll at the bottom of the screen at the top of the show on the video version. You get your name featured in the show. You get the call out when you join the show. You get 20% off our merchandise store all the time. So there's a special code that all the patrons have access for. If you're a patron and you don't know about that, search for it. Or I guess it gets probably sticky, the post too, but if you search for shop discount, it'll show up on Patreon. You can use that. You get 20% off all the merch. So the new designs I dropped earlier on the show here, 20% off all the time. That basically makes things at cost. That's pretty much like what we get them for. There's no profit for me. We just want people to be able to get our merch at a cheaper cost. So that's reserved for our patrons. And that's the $5 tier. So you get a lot just for getting in at $5. You get all the audio bonus. At the $10 tier, this is something we haven't done for a while, and we need to bring this back. We've mm-hmm. done a few of them in the past, is the happy hour, which is like a monthly. It was supposed to be a monthly, and then we've got it away from this, but we need to bring it back. Maybe this winter when we're all, you know, in our homes and nothing to do outside. Top Rope Nation happy hour, a Zoom hangout with all of us. We share our screen. We watch a wrestling show together. We did some old Raws in the past. That was a lot of fun. Quarterly merchandise giveaways where I give free merch away to the patrons. And then also the ability to nominate shows for our TRN Classics polls when we decide what we're going to do every month. Only the $10 plus tier people get to nominate shows for that poll and have a say in exactly what show we review on Classics every month. And then lastly, we have the Hall of Fame tier. That is $20 a month. You can get a guest spot on the show whenever you want, once per quarter. Come on for a full episode. That's guaranteed to you if you're on that tier. I can provide, I've only had one person who's been on the $20 tier that asked to do this, but I got on a Zoom call with them, basically showed them how I mix the show and, you know, how I go about producing this thing over the last decade. I can give you personalized media and podcast training. I've been involved in the wrestling media for a long, long time. And, you know, if you're looking for advice on how to get a foot in the door, writing about wrestling, podcasting, video, whatever, I can help you out. We could do one-on-one Zoom calls. That is a benefit of the $20 a month tier. And free merchandise every 6 months. We got some people on this tier that are due some merchandise that I'll be contacting this week. But I'll send you a free merch bundle every 6 months if you're on the $20 tier. So again, that was mentioned in our surveys that I should just go through again and mention all of the benefits, because some people weren't aware of everything you get at the tiers. But you do get all the bonus audio at $5, and then you get more specialized stuff as you go up the ladder. And as the Patreon grows, we will likely be adding to this list. We've talked about Justin starting Meet the Nation as a podcast once we get to 50 patrons. So if you want to help us get there, sign up. This is the best time to do that.
And I also saw the 7-day free trial still available. So for those who want to test drive it, please do. And just see if it's worth your time. We think it is.
Yeah. Almost everyone who signed up for the free trial stays on as a paid subscriber. And we appreciate all of you. Justin, you got a soccer game starting soon, or football, I should say. I've got an American football game starting soon here in 39 minutes, where the Chicago Bears and their fourth and fifth string cornerbacks will be playing the Baltimore Ravens. Luckily, Lamar Jackson is not playing, so maybe they have a shot. I was worried they were going to lose by 30 or 40 points when I saw we were down our top four corners this week, but we'll see what happens. Jesse, you've got a bye week, don't you?
It's a gorgeous day outside. A 37-10 loss on Thursday was what I got to.
Oh, yeah, that was Thursday night.
Kind
That's
of
right.
Watch, so might as well be a bye at this point. I actually am still debating. I might be recording an unplugged episode later this afternoon. Just depends on if I want to watch the Halloween edition of ECW's Hardcore TV, because there is a couple of very important things that happened on that show.
Nice. Very nice. We'll look forward to that. Justin, I'm going with the wife to see the new Springsteen movie tonight, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's let me know how that is. Sweet. Yeah. I might have, maybe I'd go next weekend and check that out.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. Jeremy Allen White looks like he is phenomenal in the role, so big time Bruce fan. Looking forward to that. I guess it's going to be next weekend. Episode 400.
Oh, wow.
A big one. So stay tuned. And we'll be coming at you next week, everybody. Have a great week. See y'all next time.
Cody Rhodes is the McDonald's of wrestling.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.